Good morning, everybody, and thank you all for tuning into the show on this phenomenal Thursday morning. We are in the end times of the month. We are almost halfway through the fucking year. And yes, I had already promised I'm not going to do that goal shit anymore. Because really, at the end of the day, who gives a fuck, right? Who cares about my goals? I know my idea was, let me tell them about my goals so that they feel good telling other people about their goals. I realized that was a stupid effort, and I'm done with it. However, we are coming up very close on the 2-year anniversary of the show. Again, not much to show for it except a lot of effort, which is fine. But yeah, in August will be 2 years, and it'll also be a full year of committed stand-up comedy, which is nice. None of that matters. But thank you again for tuning in your hot, sweaty car ride, your commute in the morning. Hopefully it's not too long, but I know that it is hot and sweaty because, as we all know, gas is fucking too much money to be putting the air conditioner on. Far too much money. Just roll the windows down and never stop moving. Go through red lights, go through stop signs, speed through school zones. Fuck it. Don't pull over when a cop pulls you. Just say it's hot. He'll understand. The cop will go, hey, what the fuck are you doing, man? What are you doing? I started tailing you 2 miles ago, and you're like, hey, man, listen, I needed to get to work, first of all. Second of all, it's too goddamn hot for me to be in a position of not moving with my vehicle. You can't expect me to sit on the side of the highway and roll my window down while you talk to me. And there's no air. There's no air happening. Because I'm not putting my AC on, officer. I know you guys, we pay your fuel prices, and that's fine. That's what we're here for. So you guys can sit in the nice cool air, but us, the rest of us plebeians, we have to monitor our air conditioning use. Which is crazy, right? Pretty crazy. I feel like we're in World War II, right? Just as bad what's going on. World War II, 2 million people died, plus the Jews. You know, I think it's more than 2 million. Who knows? But you remember when they had, you guys remember 1943, when they had to, people couldn't eat as much and they had to ration things, especially here in America. Everybody had to, take a little, tighten the belt, right? Tighten the belt a little bit. That's what we're doing here. We got to tighten the belt just a little bit. Just a little bit. There's food shortages and gasoline fuel costs are exorbitantly high. The market is crashing, which we'll get into in a little bit. The market is soon to be in a recession. Rates are abnormally high. Well, rates will be getting higher, I should say. Mortgages are at, 6% or something? That could just be a number that I made up completely. But, and we aren't in a war, right? We aren't in a war, which is probably why things are so expensive and there's inflation and that type of thing. You know, historically, guys, you don't need some fat fucking loser sitting in his house with his big nose screaming at nobody in his shit town that he hates. You don't need me telling you that. You don't need me telling you that we as a country have been slacking. We have been slacking when it comes to creating an enemy. We have been slacking when it comes to singling out a country where we need their resources. We're not up to snuff right now, guys. That's why things are in turmoil here. We need a small buttfuck country to absolutely demolish. Because when we're not doing that, things aren't fun here. Right? Things aren't fun. How am I supposed to get 15 different kinds of Oreos and be able to afford it without the innocent murdering, I'm sorry, the murdering, well, it's innocent on our side, right? We're just trying to help each other. We're just trying to help each other the best way we can here in this country. And the best way we do that is by bombing the fuck out of other people. And we're not doing that right now, guys. We are struggling domestically. And that historically is not conducive to our growth. It's not conducive to our growth, guys. Sorry. Our struggles have to be out there. We got to pick a country that ends in Stan so we can just bomb them and take all their shit, take all the resources we can for free. Pretty much free, right? Fire sale prices. I mean, that's why this could be why there has been a rise in mass murder, because people aren't getting their lithium. The people who are supposed to be on lithium aren't getting their lithium because we're not in a lithium-rich environment right now to take all of it from them. Right? I mean, that's the key. That's the key. If we aren't bombarding schoolhouses, if we aren't bombarding hospitals in a retaliation, in a statement... What happened to America making statements, baby? That's what we're here for. We got all the cash. How are we going to stay relevant if we're not taking the most drastic measures possible, using the highest level of technologically advanced weaponry to just wipe out bloodlines? You guys, maybe you aren't laughing, right? Because you're realizing it's true. But some of you guys know that I come on here and I satirize things and I talk shit. And right now, I'm trying to do that. But as I'm doing it, it's very much coming off as as kind of just a truth bomb. Just the way I'm saying it. Wow, my hair is fucking terrible. But just the way I'm saying it and the way that it's coming out, I'm listening to myself and I'm like, wow, this is just kind of a moment of truth for people. A truth that a lot of people would rather ignore. We would rather ignore the fact that we have such a magnificent empire, one that has been running like a well-oiled machine for years. Or at least given the illusion to be, right? And we aren't fucking enough people over right now. We aren't. I mean, we're trying to close the wage gap. Bleh. Okay, fine. You know, I mean, and I shouldn't even say trying, because it's obviously the furthest it's been, right? The greatest distance between the poor and the rich is now. Right. But more people are complaining about it. More people are complaining and less people are willing to be exploited by companies for cheap labor. Right. We are many of my generation are just not willing to do the jobs that have historically kept this country afloat. Important jobs like sanitation workers and fast food counter people and retail cashiers, you know, these great high level positions that have helped our country roll as a big shopping mall, right? A great quote from Bill Hicks, Carlin, the same thing. Well, maybe not a quote, because they both, I don't want to quote both of them, but they both have a similar, subject matter when it comes to this. And how our country is just a big fucking mall, which it is, right? We like to buy stuff. I talk about that all the time. Last week I was talking about how Father's Day is bullshit. We had James on, and we were talking about how it's just holidays, and I was talking about it. Holidays are just built to sell us things, and you know, the whole nine, right? And if we are going to be able to do that comfortably, which is what we like to do, guys, we like to buy stuff. We like to buy things. We like to spend the money we make. And if people aren't working, they aren't making money. And these companies that need people to work, who the fuck's going to work? Who's going to do it? Nobody. Nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing it. Nobody's working because the jobs blow. The jobs blow, guys. Mm. There's plenty of service industry jobs, but they suck. They suck. People don't want to do these things, you know? And I mean, here's the thing, guys, is they are the jobs that we have, you know? They're the jobs that we have. They're the jobs that are out there. So it's what are they just going to come up with all new jobs? All right. Retail across the board. One day they're going to flip a switch and say, hey, no more cashiers. It's going to be all robots, right? Are people going to be happy with that decision? Of course not. People are going to bitch and complain. Oh, my God. They're sending in machines to take our jobs. Well, you didn't want to work them, right? You didn't want to work them. What do you think? They're going to come up with new jobs for us? Here's a better job, you know, better pay. You're not diminished to doing some bullshit task. That's what a job is. That's what a job is, guys. And some are higher levels, some aren't. Good luck getting one that pays well. I'm just being honest. Good luck. You got to know somebody. You got to know somebody. It's not a real song, but. Guys, do you believe I haven't gotten a haircut in 3 months? I haven't gotten a haircut in 3 months. You know why? Because the guy that cut my hair 3 months ago charged me $60. It was like I went to a fucking salon. Charged me $60. Gave me a perfect haircut, though. Absolutely perfect. Stupendous. He cut it real short. That's why I've been able to get away. It's starting to curl up a little bit. You know, it's starting to curl a little bit. But what is this current obsession with being able to keep your hair? You know? What is... So many years ago, you just... The acceptance of losing your hair was just that. It was acceptance. You just accepted it, especially as a man, right? I understand as a woman, it's a little different, right? That's what I understand. I get that, you know, women are more attached to their hair than men are. And men are too, don't get me wrong. It's just more frequent for us to lose our hair. Because our hair is based on, is there because of our testosterone, right? Our fullness of hair is based on our testosterone. Now, I've heard two different things. I've heard if you're losing your hair, you have great testosterone, right? It could be that if you're losing your hair early on. I like to think that because I am only 25 and, you know, it really doesn't look that bad in this picture, in this video. But if I would have just turn the lights on and blast it onto my head, just like last episode, you would see that my hair is as thin as a motherfucker, and it's been thinning since I was a fucking child. So I don't know if I've ever had a full, thick head of hair, except from when I was a baby. But, you know, there's so much in this world, there's so much preservation of life. Because people are living longer, they want to have a quality of life that is... Similar to, they want a quality of life that's similar the entire way along. And if that means being able to keep your hair, then people are going to take that. Especially if it comes at the cost of yet another subscription. We live in the world of subscriptions nowadays. There are so many fucking my God, you can get a subscription for anything. I used to do ButcherBox. That was a subscription to get meat sent to your house. Any kind of subscription. They got those, and I want to do one of these. What are they, bespoke posts? You just get a box of shit every month? Just a box of anything. Literally, everything is a subscription now. Who started the subscription? It was probably what, Sears? Sears, you get a thing in the mail and a catalog, you know, and then you can order from that. It's basically the same thing. That was like the first. And now look where Sears is. Ha ha. Nobody fucking even knows what that is. I'm probably talking into the void when I talk about Sears. No one knows what that is. But you can use a $400 a year subscription, and you can rub oils that have been extracted from a tree that is in some endangered fucking forest, and you could use that after it's been sifted through and processed and safe and FDA approved, who we'll also get into a little bit later. Once it's been FDA approved, then you're good. The FDA, they know what... Well, fuck it. Let's get into it now, right? The FDA has... And this was a perfect segue, guys. I didn't even mean to do it this way. But the FDA is planning on banning the Juul. Planning on banning... In fact, it's already banned. I'm sorry. They're not planning. Juul is banned. They are not allowed to sell any of their... You know, little Nick sticks, whatever the fuck they're called. They're not allowed to sell them. In the U.S., the place that pumped fucking... They pumped Juul all the way to the tippity motherfucking top. Morgan Stanley went bananas with Juul. They helped him go public. I mean, Juul was a hot stock, baby. Juul was a hot stock, and it was one of the first of their kind. Right? E-cigarettes have been around for a little bit, but not like Juul. Juul's got a cool name, right? It appeals to everybody. Hey, brother, you got a Juul? And then I'm thinking of a commercial, right? You got a Juul, brother? And then it comes, and they were able to do commercials because they were marketing it as a way to quit cigarettes. So they were able to do commercials, even though, again, smoking, the nicotine, what's the difference? It's just as bad. Right. And then after the FDA pumped them all the way up, they had rapid growth. They got up like 70%. This is great. This is awesome. Look at this product, guys. FDA guys looking at each other. This is great. This is nice. Wait, hold on. Wait a second. They're marketing to children. Ah, this old dilemma. Remember when I was on here talking about how the FDA was going to ban menthol cigarettes because they allow for experimentation from the youngsters, from our young people. They allow for, you know, it's a less harsh than a cigarette without menthol, right? Same thing with flavored cigars. So now, instead of getting rid of those things, they are just going to get rid of Juul. Again, scared for the children. Let's make sure the children don't smoke the Juul. We have to keep it away. No more flavors. No more flavors. They banned the flavors, right? They got rid of the flavors. Then it was just strictly whatever it is, menthol or whatever the fuck. Again, we don't want the youngsters to smoke. But here's a box of Lucky Charms. Ha ha. They're magically delicious. They'll rot your fucking teeth out. You'll get diabetes at 6 years old. Here you go. Don't smoke, though. Don't smoke. Don't you dare fucking... Don't pick a vice that is not food as a child. Don't pick a vice that isn't food and isn't some pill that'll be updated every 12 months, every 13 months. A new pill that'll be ushered in because the old one is, you know, no one cares about that one anymore. That one doesn't work as well. There's side effects to that one that we've been able to mitigate with this new one by putting in more chemicals that you've never heard of and have been extracted from some other country, or maybe they're brand new chemicals that were made in a lab by a bunch of guys who said, we're going to make some cash on this. Hey, listen, put this in that pill that you give the kids to make them brain dead when they're sitting in class. Yeah, you know the pill that completely stunts their creativity and forces them to learn the bullshit that you want them to learn? Yeah. You remember how when they would come down off that, they would get really, really depressed? Well, here we go. We got a new chemical that you can put in there that makes that depression a little less intense, but it will cause extreme anxiety. But anxiety, we can milk that. We can say, hey, you know, this pill causes anxiety, but the depression is gone. And anxiety is not as bad as depression, right? And they don't, you know, there's barely any similarities between the two. There's one isn't a bridge for the other, right? We all know that. If you're anxious, you'll never get depressed. Same thing with the other way. If you're depressed, you'll never get anxious. You're fine. So The FDA goes ahead and approves these things, but says, hey, listen, Juul, this is enough. You guys are fucking too many people up with this. Now, let's see. 2020, FDA begins review of all e-cigarette products on the market. The Juul's market share plummets to 42% over the course of the year. FDA blocks Juul. This is today. Today, as I record this. FDA blocks Juul from the U.S. market after reviewing its 125,000-page application. Nobody reviewed that. Let's just be honest. Nobody sat there and reviewed that. Even if you got 125 people to sit around and read 1,000 pages, I don't care how much you read. Nobody. Who the fuck sat there and wrote 125,000 pages? Who did that? What is on those pages? There can't be anything. There's probably... Half of that is probably a contract with the Dark Lord Satan, right? Which I'm sure is in a lot of these statements or contracts, whatever the fuck they call these. I mean, 125,000. Satan probably just popped up out of the ground in the Juul office and said, listen, if we're going to have these kids, if these kids are still going to smoke, we got to figure something out. And he snapped his fingers and said, here's a 125-page application. Give that to the FDA. They'll review it. And let's see if we can make it happen. And of course, Satan fell short. Satan fell short with Juul. But listen, guys, listen. All hope is not lost. You can still get your e-cig kicks. You can still get them. Because the FDA is allowing Vuse and Enjoy. Enjoy. Wow, I just got that. Enjoy and Vuse. V-U-S-E. They're allowing those because, but based on what they say, right, FDA argues the benefits of these products for smokers outweigh their risks of being used for underage vaping. I wonder what criteria they used. Right? How can one be better than the other? I think something happened very shady with Juul. Because Juul blew up, guys. Juul absolutely blew up. I have the timeline right in front of me. Right? They started making, they started making them in 2017. And then Morgan Stanley credits, 2018, 72% of the market share, up 31% in 2018. I mean, they blew up, guys. They were making a lot of money for people. Something must have happened, guys. I have zero faith in these large regulated entities or these regulation entities. How about that? I have very little faith that they are concerned with our children. I don't mean to say our children like I'm, some fucking community leader, but I refuse to believe that they're doing anything on the basis of keeping children safe. For those reasons that I had spoken about earlier. And why are they deciding to keep these other ones around? Why not get rid of all of them? Because there's a nice tax. Juul probably found a way to mitigate that tax. That's probably what it was. And I'm sure the FDA gets paid off of every Juul that gets sold. And if they're not pumping out the same type of production that they were when they had 72% of the market share... Juul was there. Juul brought it back to life, the e-cigs. And now they're kicking them to the fucking curb? That's how it is, guys. I've spoken about it on here. The guys who break down that third wall, the trendsetters, the bar raisers, they never get to see it. They never get to see what they're doing pop off, right? Look at Elvis. Died young. Did all the wrong things. He was the first experiment for a major music act that is known worldwide. We didn't know he was a rock star until after the motherfucker died and everybody followed his path. And all those same people happen to be rock stars as well. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Brian Johnson from the Stones, all these guys that died at 27. And then all the rock stars that lived and are still alive and all the shit that they did, they got to see the first guys fuck everything up. They got to see that. Same thing with Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce, first comedian to go out there and do comedy the way that it's done today. And people didn't respect him for it at the time. He saw the shit end of the stick. He was the hottest comic in the country, but he was fucking, he couldn't do a goddamn thing in the early to mid 60s. And then boom, dies of heroin overdose at 40 years old. That's what happens, guys. So Jewel, if you look at it that way, Jewel is like the Lenny Bruce of the e-cig market. They broke down that barrier for everybody and said, come on in. And everybody came in. And they lost a big, big part of that market share. Oh, boy. They lost it. Now they're not allowed in the U.S. They are not allowed in the U.S. However, I think, I could be wrong. We like, you know, we have some good addictions here. We do. And if the FDA says anything about it, then we're good, right? As long as the FDA backs it, then we're fine, except with alcohol. But like, you know, cigarettes, the FDA obviously allows those. The FDA could ban cigarettes, but they won't because of the taxes and the whole economy behind it and whatever. Because again, if they really cared, they would just ban them. They would just ban them. They know that you know, they take off 14 years of your life, and more than half of cigarette smokers die from some lung-related or heart-related fucking disease. And they know that, and they also know that it's the people's choice, and that if they're already out there, we can't take them away. We can't do that. There'd be craziness in the streets. So as long as the FDA, other than booze, because there's nothing about the FDA when it comes to booze, right? I mean, it has to be approved because it is considered a drug, yes? Right? I don't know if it's, but it's got to be part of the FDA. I don't know in what capacity, but the FDA has to review shit regarding booze. And again, another tax drug. Those plus all the sugary poison that we eat with the microplastics, that all has, again, food and drug. That all has to go through the FDA approval. The drugs that we take as people, you know, the SSRIs and the painkillers and all that stuff, all that has to get passed through the FDA. And we usually, a lot of us have no problem with that, right? A lot of us don't have a problem with that. But I would think, as far as smoking goes, cigarettes and that type of thing, they're more popular in other countries. You know, I mean, I've been to Portugal and everybody smokes cigarettes. People in Europe, they smoke cigarettes all the time. So maybe now I'm contradicting myself because, you know, these countries, they don't care to quit smoking. They don't. They don't care to quit smoking because they smoke cigarettes, but they live longer because their lives aren't as stressful as ours. You know, we run 100 miles an hour all day, every day, working, toiling, trying to make money. We are the single most money-hungry country in the entire world, which is why we have the most money, which is why we have, you know, we can get 80-inch flat screens with a fucking, like that, with a snap. You know what I'm saying? That's why we have all that shit. Because we work like dogs, but we die a lot quicker than some of these other countries. You know, I had an uncle. He just passed away, maybe a year ago, my dad's brother. And he smoked his whole life. He ended up getting cancer, but he smoked his whole life. He drank his whole life. He did whatever the fuck he wanted. He ate good, did whatever he wanted. He died at like 84, 85. If that guy lived in America, come on. He wouldn't have done with the work that you have to do here. Work is looked at so differently in other countries. They're not worried about it. They make whatever money they have to, and they fucking relax. They fuck. They smoke cigarettes, they hang out, they have a drink, they have coffee till 3 in the morning. Same thing in you know, like Arab countries. They'll sit up all night drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, sitting outside. It's the added stresses that we get here that cause us to implode. So maybe the fact that Juul isn't in America, because again, here in America, people aren't ever content with anything. They're not. They always want to quit something. They always want to get better at something. They always want to, you know, I've been smoking too many cigarettes. We got to quit. We got to figure this out. You know, it's there's always it's more. It's the curse of more. That's what we have here. And again, if you want to quit smoking cigarettes, that's probably a good thing, right? That's probably good. But they, it's if I had to argue, the fact that I don't know where the study was conducted in 1970 regarding the deaths and the lung cancer and all that stuff when it comes to smoking cigarettes. And I'm not denouncing the science there, guys. Smoking cigarettes is not good. It's not good. But I would be willing to argue that if you took 5,000 individuals with fairly low stress lives who also smoke cigarettes and compare them to 5,000 stressed out Americans, I would argue that on average, the 5,000 stressed out Americans who also smoke cigarettes die quicker than the other people. And we can keep we can have a control, right? Maybe people who smoke a pack a day, right? Which is, in my opinion, a lot, right? I don't smoke cigarettes. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I do smoke the, from time to time, I'll smoke the CBD cigarettes, but I've never smoked the cigarettes with all the shit in them and whatever else. I've never smoked a Marlboro or anything. As cool as they look, I've never smoked one. But again, I would argue that there's other factors that lead, you know, plus, again, we go back to the American side, being stressed out 24/7, eating poison. Right? Our food choices are pretty fucking terrible. You know, I'd like to see something like that. I would like to see something like that. And compare them with people who live relatively low stress lives. They you know, they smoke cigarettes, but they eat well. You know, they go on walks on average, or they're a little more active. Again, Americans, they work so fucking hard that there's some of them don't care to do anything. They don't care to walk. They don't care to. And again, that's just and I guess I'm imagining European lifestyle, but that's the lifestyle in other countries. They go out to the city and they walk around and just on average. Right. And that happens here, too. But we have a lot more people here than they do in some of these other European countries. You know, we have so many more people here that it's almost not proportional. Like if you took a town of 10,000 people in America and a town of 10,000 people in Europe, I would probably argue that the 10,000 people in Europe, there's probably the percentage wise, there's probably more of them out and about just lounging, just out lounging, walking around, actively trying to reduce their stress, but not consciously, right? Not consciously. That's the thing. Everything here in America, we got to be super conscious about. You have to be conscious about your job. You have to be conscious about your livelihood. You have to be conscious about your health. You have to be conscious about this. You have to, because we're set up in a position to where those things are not conducive to the machine. They're not conducive to producing and production and consumption. You know, relaxation is a second thought. We have to like kind of dial ourselves in and say, hey, you're working too much. Let's sit back. Hey, I feel like they don't have to do that in other countries. Sure, there's stresses all over the fucking world. But I feel like just unconsciously in other countries, they just naturally, we're going to go for a walk on the beach. We'll smoke a cigarette, have an espresso. And then I will fuck you underwater and we can watch the beautiful sunset and walk back to my home and look on the balcony and smoke another 6 cigarettes and fuck again. You know, that's just what they do. That's what they do over there. So, long story short, I don't know how well Juul does in these other countries because I don't know if they care to quit smoking cigarettes. You know, and they're not going to just say, oh, look at Juul. I'll take that. You know, they're less impressionable than we are. We're always getting sold different things all the time. So anytime there's something that pops up, oh, look at that. That looks sleek. That looks like if I rubbed my hand on it, it would be smooth. I want to buy that. Look at that. That thing's electronic. Look at that. Let me grab that. I'll grab that thing. There's a charger. That's awesome. We're just more susceptible to being influenced by something new, something a new technological gadget, something cool. Not even just a gadget, just a new flavor of something. You know, new flavor of cancer. Here's a jewel, and it was a craze for a while, and now, no more jewel in America. What are all the scumbags going to do? You're going to have to get cancer like a man. Going to have to open up the Marlboros and start puffing away, kiddies. That's what you're going to have to start doing. Sorry. Speaking of things crashing, and I did want to get into this. Speaking of things crashing, so as you guys know, this show has progressed into something completely different than what it started as, and I'm sure it'll probably hit some other I don't want to call it a roadblock, but it'll probably hit another generation, I guess we can call it. I used to talk about finance a lot more on here, and I don't pay attention anymore, mainly because the market's a fucking shit show, and I have no interest in taking the money that I barely have and losing the fuck out of it. Because you can either, right now, your only two options are you can lose to inflation in your bank account, whatever the inflation number is, you can lose to that. And right now it's pretty high. You could lose it to that. Or you could put it in the market and lose double the inflation amount, right? For the first time in a very long time in America, you cannot beat the inflation rate by investing in the market. You can't do it. It's not possible anymore. Not right now, unless you're a fucking whiz. You know what I'm saying? I mean, right now is a good time to buy bonds. Right now is a good time to buy bonds because interest rates are high, which also means bond prices are low. They're inversely proportional. So this is a good time to buy bonds. Maybe that's something I'll do. I don't know what the rates are. But if I could find a nice 6%, 7% bond that want to hold on to my money for a year, I get it back with a 6% whatever. That's pretty cool. I'll take that. But I'm not here to talk about finance in that capacity, right? I know I have a degree in it. That's old fucking news. I could really care less about finance and the money and everything. I'm just trying to put the pieces together day by day. I barely know where my meals are coming from. That's a lie. I have a house full of food right now. But I'd be lying if I didn't say that this has been some of the most stressful time that I've had when it comes to money, mainly because my job, sucks. And obviously I have more bills to pay than ever. I'm out here alone, yada, 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 whatever. Cry me a motherfucking river, Antonio. We all got problems. I know. I'm just out here saying it. So I say all that to say that historically, I've spoken on here about crypto and how I have been skeptical. I have been greatly skeptical about crypto, mainly because of the unnatural growth and the whole thing. And you guys are probably saying, well, Antonio, everything's down right now. Everything is down. Yeah, it is. But it's just funny to me how many people just like succumbed to the crypto mass hypnosis, right? The mass hypnosis that everyone was just like, oh my God, crypto's the future. Crypto's the fucking future. Oh my God, crypto's the future and it's coming soon. Crypto's coming soon, guys. Paper money's going to be gone. There's going to be no use for bank accounts anymore. The people are going to be the ones who have it all. No more banks. No more regulated currency. Crypto is taking over the world, and we want to be at the forefront. People still do, and we want to be at the forefront. We do. There's going to be no more. And boy, oh boy, were they almost right. The monetary system right now can't get a grip on itself. It is all out of whack, and people thought that shit was going to last forever. We were all making free money, and we got to put money into the market. It pumped the market up. Whoop-de motherfucking do. Now people ain't got no money. They ain't got the extra money to put in the market, so it's taking a shit. Plus rates are going up. So that causes the market to deflate as well. So it's just funny. Like, all these guys that thought they were going to retire. I got all this. Look at this in Robinhood. I got three grand in crypto. And watch, dude. This is going to hit 10 grand. 10 grand in a couple years. Watch. And I'll be able to pull out, and I'm going to get a boat. I'm going to be good. Look at this. Look at this money. Yeah. Good luck. But Bitcoin's at $20,000. Bitcoin is at $20,000. Do you believe that? It was at 65,000 in November of 21. It was at 65,000, guys. It has had a third of that right now. Oh, my God. It is at a third of that. Ethereum was at $4,000. It was at $4,000 in the same time in November. Now it's at 1,000. What is it? 1,060? Come on, man. That's less than a quarter. Well, that could be a quarter. I don't fucking know. All I know is all these guys that were big up in the crypto are probably pretty fucking upset. People who've got money in the market, people who got 401ks, they're probably very upset. I can't imagine working a job for as long as you have. And, you know, I'm talking about people who are closer to time. People like my mom, right? People like my mother who's been working a job that she greatly dislikes for a long time, 20 years, something like that. And she's very close to retirement in her 401k. She's been putting money in it for years and years and years. And now it is taking a fucking hit. It is taking a hit, guys. And I think everyone should have a 401k, I guess. I don't know. I don't really think about that anymore. But if you're going to have a 401k, just know that that is a tax bomb. Something I've spoken about on here before. Tax bomb, and the money comes out, it is susceptible to a tax that it's taxed once it comes out. So understand that. But the fact that the market is in fucking shambles, people's 401ks are absolutely demolished. Oh no, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'll tell you what it is. The combination of not having enough money to retire for the older generation, that combination or that aspect in combination with the people of my generation not wanting to work is going to cause that retirement generation to work more. Right? Because we got time on our side. We got time to figure things out. We're 25, 26. Come on. We got time. We're young. This is the time to fuck off and fuck around with things, you know? I don't need to work that job. Fuck you. We can do that. The people that were going to retire soon, they're going to look at what they get to work with and say, oof, this isn't good. This is not good, but hey, Subway's hiring managers for $20 an hour. I'm 68. I might as well. Fuck it. What do I care? How am I going to live? It's not like I can care. How am I going to live? Right? The script is flipped. Right? We're taking our retirement early. We're taking our retirement at 25, baby. You worked your whole life. Sorry. Sorry, Gerald, that you're 67 and you retired and you thought you were going to have it. All you got left is your 20. You got 20 grand out of your 401k. Isn't that great? Isn't that nice? How about that 3% match that they lured you in with? How about that? Now, and you were putting extra in every week. This is going to be good, baby. Woohoo. Especially when you turn 60 and you knew you only had, you know, 5 years left and you're like, we're going to really amp it up now. And you saw the market. Wow, God, wow, I'm so close. This is going to be good. Look at the market. It's so high. I'm going to retire in 2 years. And then now it's 2022 and your investment is in the toilet. It's in the toilet, guys. But good news. Good news for you guys that wanted to retire. There's plenty of jobs out there for you motherfuckers to work. You guys are old. You got to get to work. You're going to die if you stop moving. You're going to die if you stop moving. Do you understand that? Do you understand that, you old son of a bitch?
You're going to croak. You got to work. You got to work at a Target. You got to work at a Target stocking shelves when you're 73. That's what it is if you want to make ends meet. And there's plenty of those jobs. But our generation is too good for it. We're too good for it. And we know, we see the writing on the wall, guys. There's not going to be a retirement for us, you know, at 65. There's not going to be a planet when in 40 years, right? I'm 25. In 40 years, I mean, what the fuck? There's going to be nothing. What's there going to be? There's going to be silence. You're going to, this is what you're going to hear. You're going to hear. That's going to be outside. There's going to be no buildings. People are going to live underground. There's going to be nothing. We're going to be okay at 65. Money is going to be the least of our problems. It's not going to, it's going to be okay. We're going to see a puddle in the barren fucking wasteland that we live in, and it's going to be buzzing, and there's going to be big fucking bloat flies that come out of it, like in Fallout, that shoot big nasty gobs of radioactive shit at you. So you got to go back underground in your tunnel. There's no money. There's none of that. Everybody gets rations. Everybody shares things. People do tasks, and it'll be like the beginning of time. It'll be like all over again. It will. It'll be it'll be all over again, except we'll have a completely barren and ruined landscape. One that is the complete opposite of how we started. Because when humans started, we had a great landscape that, you know, we squandered completely with things like power and greed and borders and you know, not working together and creating differences based on the region that we live in and how we look. And we squandered such a lovely resource-rich planet. We have completely destroyed it in hopes for production and you know, consumption and these type of things. Two great words I love using. Mm. And we will have squandered all that, and now we're living underwater or underground. You know, a third of the current population is underground, trying to land. There's some above ground, right? Because there's some areas that are still nice. There's still some tourism going on. You could go to, you know, some of the states that weren't necessarily completely destroyed by the bombs and you know, the Chinese and whoever the fuck else came to destroy us. Which is good. I mean, that's something to look forward to, right? That's why our generation is so willing to, you know, disregard some of these jobs, because we know that when it comes time for retirement, the job, the word that our parents love to say, hey, you got to work for your retirement. You know, you got to work. You got to try and make it through, you know, you got to set yourself up so when you're old, you don't need to work and you can just fuck off all day. Well, let me tell you something. We are going to get to fuck off for a lot longer than that, because there won't be many of us left comparatively. Right, if two thirds of the population get completely wiped out and the rest of us are underground, what the fuck is there going to be to do? Nothing, especially when there's been generations and generations of people who've lived underground. I might be 65, and it might be the first generation of people who are forced to live in these areas, these sectioned off areas that are protected from radiation and rabid animals and mutated animals and whatever the fuck else. You know, we might be the first group that has to worry about that shit. But think about the 100 years after that. If there's still people, they will have, they'll have it down. They'll have life in pods completely down, and it won't be as bad. It won't be as bad, guys, especially with the metaverse. The metaverse, you could do the metaverse underground. Come on. You could do it underground. It'll be just as fucking cool. That's what I'm assuming. I don't know how I got all the way to that, you know, our planet becoming a radioactive wasteland. I'm not sure how exactly I got to that. But some good news for all of you mentally ill, sick motherfuckers that definitely listen to this show or know someone. Because the statistical likelihood of that is very high, that you know somebody that is, you know, mentally ill. They got problems upstairs, right? You're listening to one. You guys have subscribed to a man who is as mentally ill as a motherfucker can get, guys. I'm telling you right now. I mean, that's what this is, right? That's what this show is. You guys are just listening to a absolutely manic, sick guy in his house who's slowly going crazy and losing everything in hopes for a dream that is incredibly outlandish and probably won't happen. But again, you got to be a little mentally ill to try some shit like that. Right. If I had described that to somebody and said, hey, listen, for 10 years, maybe longer, you're going to toil at a craft, a very hard craft, a craft that is not it's tough. I mean, you're going to be subject to ridicule, often public ridicule. You're going to be, demoralized and you're going to be made to feel like you're nothing. And you're going to do that for a long time and you're going to get better at it. You're going to get good. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you need to be seen. People need to know that you're good. People need to get your name needs to get out there, and you need to be able to monetize it. And the chances of that are very, very low. The bar to entry is low, but which is why being able to make a living off it is very tough. So if I said that to somebody and said, "Hey, good luck, go ahead," they would look at you and say, "I don't know." A sane person would say, "You know, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. I might try a little something else, a little stability here in this life." But that's what I'm going for. And you got to be a sick, illogical motherfucker to go ahead and do that. So you guys know, you guys didn't need that whole explanation to know that I'm a sick fuck. But again, for all you sick fucks out there, there is a new number to call. And it ain't Ghostbusters, baby. There's a new 911 that is being tried all over the country. A new 911. It's actually going to be 988, and it's for mental health people. Mental health emergencies. And they're going to be referring you to the Suicide Prevention Hotline, because the Suicide Prevention Hotline is too long of a number to put in, right? If you're sitting there, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, I can't believe I got to this point. Oh, I hate you. And you're looking at yourself in the mirror, and you got that gun, and it's warm. It's warm because you've been passing it between your two hands, and you're loading it up. You load it up, and you unload it. You load it up, and you unload it. You've put it in your mouth a couple times by this point. You've put it in your mouth, and you've taken it out, and you've put it in your mouth, and you're just like, I don't know, am I going to do it? And you're crying, and you can't believe that you're this close. You're so close to just fucking ending it all, because everything has just been terrible in your life. Nothing good, nothing has gone right since your fucking 11th birthday, which is, oddly enough, the best day in your entire life. There hasn't been anything that has come close to your 11th birthday. And since then, it has just been a cold misery that you've just sat in for years and years. And you're just so sick of it. And you're tired of it. And in that mess of emotion, you're like, hold on. I don't know if I want to do this. And then you look up the suicide hotline number, and you see how long it is, and you go, fuck, it's always something. Bang! And you're done. The number was too long. The suicide hotline number was far too long. And while putting in those 7 digits plus the 1-800 or the area code or whatever the fuck it is, I'm sure there were a lot of people who looked at it and said, Jesus, it's always, nothing's ever easy, and then kick the stool out from under him and suffocate him, right? Till their fucking face turned blue. And now it is much easier to get in contact with them. Now you just hit 3 numbers, right? You take that same case, that same guy staring at himself in the mirror, 27 years old, has nothing to show for those years of life. And he says, hold on, let me say, 988. Yes. Now I can live. And they just transport you to the suicide. So what is the person that you talk to? Are they just like some? Now that's a good job, right? That's a good job, because you're not the person on the suicide hotline who has to actually talk to this person. And you may even hear them kill themselves if you don't do a good job. If you're a lackluster suicide hotline rep. You know, I mean, I'm sure it's tough to be on that end of it. But if you're the 988 person, you're kind of just the operator. You're the middleman. You know, hello, this is the emergency hotline. We'll direct you to the suicide hotline. Could I ask you what your emergency is today? I want to blow my head off because I've realized that my entire accumulation of life has resulted in nothing. And I feel like I have very little to live for. I have no family. I have no friends. There's no redeeming qualities about myself. I'm ugly. I'm overweight. I can't do any of the things that I used to enjoy because I'm so just depraved in my mind. And I just hate living and I want to end it all. All right. Well, just wait 2 minutes and we'll transfer your call. Do-do-do-dee-da-da-da. That's the music. Ba-ba-ba. And you're just sitting there and you're just like, this is nice. This is, I feel like this is official. This is, you know, I am, my entire life, it seems like it's better now because I can listen to this nice little ditty while I wait to talk to another person. Or do you think it'll be a robot? Right? Hello, thank you for calling the 988 medical mental health hotline. How can we help you today? If you're thinking of killing yourself, press 1. If you're thinking of self-mutilation, press 2. If you've been vomiting uncontrollably for the past 24 hours, please press 3. If you'd like to speak to a representative, press 4. Right? I don't know. I'm just spitballing ideas to make the process a little bit more efficient because it's a delicate topic, guys. It's delicate. You guys know that. You guys know that I take the utmost precaution when it comes to talking about something like suicide or mental health or mass shootings or geopolitics and humans run amok. You guys know I try very hard to mitigate the offense taken when talking about those kinds of things. But I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. I think that the fact that they just transfer you to the suicide hotline is weird. I think that's strange. I feel like it should be its own thing. But hey, they don't want to step in on the suicide hotline's toes. They don't want to step in on their action. I'm sure they get some good advertisements, right? Come on down to Burley's Rope. Burley's Rope. If you aren't feeling too well that day, then we have, we have a solution. Or maybe they just go, we won't leave you hanging. Come on down to Burley's Rope. We won't leave you hanging. That sounds better. That sounds nice, right? How about Dr. Tom Katz cyanide pills, right? It sounds like kind of 1920s snake oil salesman, right? Kind of like a vintage thing, like the beard oil. You get the beard oil and it looks like an old school like vial, right? But instead, these are cyanide capsules, you know, and you can bite them. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the suicide hotline probably has some decent advertising. They probably rake in a little bit of cash from the sponsors and the advertisements and that type of thing. You know, maybe Prozac somewhere in there. They and the 988 people don't want to impede. I understand. I get it. You know, I get it. It is what it is, and it's a valiant effort. Hey, it's a step in the right direction, right? I mean, the mental health response in this country is usually, you know, some kind of drug or some weird explanation that, you know, when you were a kid, you idolized this person, you know, some weird, strange, long drawn out explanation, kind of like how I talk on here. But imagine somebody talking to you about your life and, you know, this is why you did this. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, tell me more. You know, that's kind of what it is. And to talk to that person, to talk to an actual therapist who, you know, some of them are very, very good, I'm sure. I'm sure they care about their clients. But to talk to them, good luck if you ain't got the money. I mean, Christ, there's no mental health insurance. Wait till that comes along. That's going to be a good scheme. That'll be a very good scheme. They'll be trying to sell people that don't need the mental. That's probably why it's not a thing yet, because they haven't figured out a good way to sell it to people. You know, because you can sell insurance on the body, right? You can sell that. Hey, you break a leg, you want to be able to get taken care of. Okay, easy sell. Life insurance. You die a little early, your family, you want to take care of them, you want to leave something for them. Okay, cool. Insurance on your home or your auto or something like that. Replace, you know, those are easy sells. But if you say to somebody, hey, we have this mental health insurance program, they're going to say, oh, no. No, I'm not interested in that. That's a tough sell. You know, because so many people feel like they have their mental health under control, and some of them do, but a lot of the ones that say that they do don't, right? They don't, because they're probably in some sort of denial. Plus, I mean, you know, I would think it's a good business move to start selling mental health insurance, because those numbers for Prozac and Xanax and Zoloft and all those numbers will go up. Right? Those numbers will go up. Money will be, and the FDA will start raking it in. Don't be surprised if the FDA starts pushing mental health insurance. Don't be surprised by that. Pushing for that. I would think so. But we also don't want a cure, right? We don't want a cure for anything here. We want to be able to it's like the used car salesman. You don't sell a person one car. You sell them five cars over the course of 20 years, right? That's what you want. You want them to come back, keep trusting you, right? So same thing with these drugs. A new one comes out. You want to be able to say, hey, this one works better than the last. So come on in. Come on in. Just take it. Just take it. Drink it down. And everything's going to be A-okay. You're going to be fine. And we can keep a cycle going. We can keep a cycle going, which is why the mental health insurance, I mean, it's funny because the same people that call for mental health insurance are the same people who call for free health care, which, you know, it doesn't really, it's not conducive. There's no such thing as free health care here. It's all a racket. It is all a racket. Mental health insurance is cool, but mental health stuff should be free. Right. But then again, how do you have industry? How can you have an industry how can you have an enterprise if there's no money involved? You know, how can that happen? It won't happen, guys. And I'm just here to remind you of that. I'm here to remind you that if you had any glimmer of hope before listening to today's episode, I hope it is completely snuffed out and you realize that it's over. Everything's over and nothing matters. No. You know, that's murder, death, killism, guys. That's what it is. But anyway, I've taken up far more than far enough of your time, I guess. It's been an eventful week for me. Some changes in life have come. Some lackluster ones, if we're being real. I don't feel like speaking about it at the moment. Not to end this on a sad note, because things are still possible, right? There's I don't want to say that there's no new lease on life. That's such a stupid, I got a new lease on life. Look at this. No, it's the same lease that we all fucking get. We all get the same lease. It's 65 to 100 years, 100 year lease. And every day you pay with your sanity and your health and all that stuff. And you hope that the majority of it, you have a good time. You hope that the lease is worth it for the majority of it. And that's what we have to work with, guys. Have a great rest of your week. Again, we were supposed to have a guest today. That didn't happen. My own doing. I apologize. But realistically, I'm having a good time with doing this on my own. And I'm thinking guests are only going to be a thing if they're in person at this point, because, I don't know. I like doing it alone. I like doing this. I'd like a co-host at some point. That'd be cool. But I am in no position to pay anybody. And I know nobody wants to be a part of this fucking train wreck anyway. So thank you guys for playing along. No dates right now, except for the Portland, Maine Comedy Festival, which is going to be good. That'll be that'll be at the end of August. I don't know what 2 days or what the days are that I'm performing. I'm doing two shows, so that'll be fun. And, you know, it'll be a good way to round out a year of stand-up comedy. And that's it, guys. I'm done talking. You have a great rest of your week. I'll talk to y'all on Monday. Salong, nah. Peace.